Good morning, Greg. Interesting story by yourself and Patrick Smith today in The Australian, that the tax pulls the big four clubs back to the field. What's been the reaction from the big four clubs?
Well, obviously, no one wants to pay the footy tax, and this was obviously many stories ran last year how the AFL invoked a 37.5% surcharge for this year, 75% for next year on any spend over $9.3 million on non-player related items. So clubs don't want to pay the tax. So there's been some massive reductions already this year. But what it's probably the only way that the bottom clubs can play catch up here, because they can't do it in revenue. But if they've got approximately a similar amount of money to pay for players, pay for their staff, etc., they're going to be able to compete on an equal footing. And I think, you know, we've had a really uneven playing field for so long. Just for example, say you barrack for the Western Bulldogs. Last year, the difference between what Fremantle, who were the biggest spenders paid, and the Bulldogs was around about $6 million. Way too much. It's getting bigger. But under the new proposal, Fremantle cut their expenditure down by about $2.5 million to get under 10. The Bulldogs will probably raise about $600 from the rich to the poor tax, the Robin Hood tax. So they'll probably benefit by about $600,000 for this year, payable next year. But it just, for four of the last 6 years, the Bulldogs have been the lowest paying club in footy department. I mean, surely they're sick and tired then of that. It's not quite their fault. They don't get the same opportunities as the big boys. Now, clubs along with St Kilda, they've struggled recently, North, Brisbane, Melbourne, and even Port Adelaide, are going to get benefit from this. But it's not so much the financial benefit that they'll get. It is the fact that the spending has slowed. It was racing, Kevin, at nearly 10% every year. The poorer clubs couldn't keep up with this. So I think the Players Association, the AFL, will be very, very happy if this trend does continue and brings everyone back to the field. I think it's probably, as far as the evener-upper, if there's such an expression of the competition, this is it. If this doesn't work, I don't know what will, but I think we're seeing early doors that this probably will work.
The four big clubs the AFL talk about in spending is Fremantle, Hawthorn, West Coast. Fremantle's there, West Coast there as well, and surely Collingwood's got to be there. And Collingwood's got to be there. So they're the four big clubs, aren't they? Fremantle, West Coast, Hawthorn, and Collingwood.
Yes. And between the four of them, they're going to lop off to avoid paying the tax. Some are going to pay. Collingwood people.
Hawthorn and Collingwood wouldn't be happy about that. And maybe their supporters are not happy, Greg, because.
Collingwood's not going to pay a tax.
You've got to be the devil's advocate, okay. Because they like to think that they're working hard, forming, getting members, growing their business, and therefore that gives them advantage over other clubs.
We revealed in The Australian today that membership was just stagnating a little bit at Collingwood early doors. And there was some, I think,
Eddie
made some inquiries, I think. And then a spokesman from the Pies yesterday told us that the main issue was that they didn't want to buy a membership to pay the Western Bulldogs a subsidy out of their own money. So, therefore, Collingwood are not paying the tax. That's one thing that they put their figure into the AFL. They've got under the threshold.
What, of 9 point something million, is it?
They'll be paying about $9 million next year, which is under the $9.3 million threshold. So that's one surprise. But
what's Collingwood's threshold, do we know?
Well, the threshold is 9.3 for everyone. Hawthorn will be just above that, but think they can work down. The two clubs that will pay the most will be Fremantle and West Coast, because their expenditure is much higher, obviously, for things like travel in particular. They pay a hell of a lot for there. So they'll be paying the tax. But good news for Collingwood people. I don't know how they've done it. It's a miracle. They've reduced their actual spend by close to 25% to get it down under that. So Collingwood fans, if you want to rejoin, or all clubs, you won't be paying tax.
So did they replace Rodney Eade, his role? I know Barbie went there, but Rodney Eade had a couple of roles. So have they saved a little bit of money there?
Look, I think clubs that we spoke to yesterday saved a lot of money. Like Collingwood, for example, I think one of their cuts, and we don't know exactly what they've cut yet, but will be overseas travel, training camps, etc. like that. I think there's some research programs, development programs that West Coast, Fremantle have had to cut. I certainly know that West Coast haven't replaced senior staff. I think Collingwood's probably, Fremantle's got some reductions in their fitness area. But that'll all come out in the wash as well. But just the fact is that I think from next year, you can go to the footy, hopefully, and see the fact that St Kilda and the Western Bulldogs are starting to at least be on an equal playing field with their opposition.
So that'll put more pressure on those lower clubs, because as that gap becomes smaller, the members will be asking for greater success from those clubs.
Oh, look, no doubt they ask for greater success now sometimes when they're severely handicapped, so they will do that.
But in the past, those clubs have said, not saying it's a crutch, but it can be a reason they tell their supporters, we're not having success because we're so far behind the eight ball that, you know, football department spending away from the salary cap
makes it too tough for us to compete. Yeah.
And we told those figures before in my take. So when this that gap gets smaller, then the clubs then won't have that any longer as maybe a reason why they're not achieving success.
Correct. And you take, for example, even the Western Bulldogs. Now, you've got to feel sorry for Brendan McCartney because he was there for 3 years or 4 years, whatever it
three,
was.
Three, I reckon.
Whatever it was. So two or three of those years, his club was the lowest. He didn't have the resources available. You've got to feel sorry for Guy McKenna at the Gold Coast because they are now rock bottom on that spend. He didn't have the same assistant coaches as what Collingwood's got. He did not have people on the side that they could pay. So, and they've paid the price with their jobs. So I think from that perspective as well, footy clubs should be more stable, but I emphasise the fact, and we've got a couple of new chief executives, one at the Bulldogs that will start later this year, they have to still be smart with their spend. They've got to be wise and they've got to be smart. What this is doing now is stopping the bigger clubs from just going out and doing whatever they want. Oh, we'll get a chiropractor in. We'll get another doctor. We'll get another assistant coach, et cetera, and we'll have a bigger swimming pool than you've got. So I think from that side of it, people should start to be well satisfied with the actions that the league are trying to do to implement to bring this competition back, because for too many years now, there's been too many clubs that really have not been able to compete competitively.
942-9-11-16 is always our famous talkback number. What's on your mind in sport? You can always set the sporting agenda. 0433-98-11-16 if you want to send through an SMS. Also, you may want to make a comment on Ryan Crowley. He's received 12 months suspension. Are you happy with that? Also, Jack Zeeble says that he's asked North Melbourne fans to not boo Adam Goods. Now, if you're a North Melbourne fan, or if you're just a fan going along to the game because your side maybe is not playing this week, but you're going to watch a game of AFL football, are you going to respond to that call by Jack Zeeble? And I'd like to hear from Essendon fans too, because I see Carlisle has actually been named in the ruck, and you suggested that to us yesterday, Greg, that the ruck position is going to be his if he can grab it with both hands. And of course, North Melbourne, are they looking for retribution against Sydney? It's a big game for North Melbourne after their great win last week against the West Coast Eagles. This is the side that humiliated North Melbourne last year, 9429-1116. And Greg, of course, is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel. 372 Bridge Road in Richmond is the famous address. Don't forget, they've got the open fireplace, got all the footy on the four big screens. And of course, the big news is the food is so popular upstairs. It's also open for dinner now with private dining rooms available. 9428-6895.
I don't really think that's very fair to call Jake a sook if you don't know him as a person. He's a hard worker. Not everyone can play fantastic footy all the time. I think the way that Jake's attacked his training and tried to get better as a player has been fantastic. Fantastic. He's still raw in the forward line. He's only, I think, 22, 23 years old, so to get stuck in him now is a bit stiff, I think, and I think he's going to play some good footy.
There's Michael Hurley just making a comment about Jake Carlisle last night. I'm not quite certain. I think Moons is going to join us on Friday Footy Focus today, so we'll have a chat to Moons when he has the last word, of course, on the big game tonight, Port Adelaide and Geelong. But I thought that was pretty tough to say Carlisle was a sook. I'm not quite certain what he bases that on. I know some people suggest that, you know, Carlisle wants to play down back. You tell us, Greg, that he's happy to play anywhere.
The club says they want to play anywhere.
Most people think he's better down back, but I don't know why people would suggest he's a sook.
No, but that's only Cameron Mooney's opinion. But in the Herald Sun today, they clarify that his manager is saying, no, we're happy wherever we play where Herd wants us to play. We're happy even if it's forward. So from that perspective, There was a lot of, I was critical yesterday of people ringing in and saying that he should be, you know, played in defence because it doesn't suit him or, it, you know, whatever. I mean, whoop-de-doo, that's what I said. But I'm not critical of the player for Sookie because we don't know that, but that's what Mooney said. He described him as carrying on, his body language was that of a Sook.
If you want to make a case for your side on the weekend, 9429 1116, give us a call, or 0433 98 1116. Trout's going to kickstart us because the Tigers, of course, are having a bye. G'day, Trout. What are you going to do this weekend?
Hello, KB. Greg.
Yes,
well,
Trout.
The mighty Tigers have turned it around, the season around, thanks to KB. KB sent a message out loud and clear, wouldn't pick us, and we received that message loud and clear, KB. But, Greg, you have given us nothing for years. What is it you got against the Tigers? You just don't pick us. You don't.
And the Bulldogs. And Melbourne.
I have to say that, you know, once again this year, I haven't rated you, but I take my hat off. The last 2 weeks, I think Hardwick's coached brilliantly. I can see a definite change in the game, in game plan. And more importantly, actually listen to what I said a few weeks ago, play the kids. Now, I will say that young Alice, I watched him very closely against Fremantle last week, and he is a ripper. Now, maybe he wasn't ready earlier in the season, but by playing these kids, you're giving Richmond fans and his teammates something to strive for because he was particularly good last week. He's going to be a very, very good player, and I like to see teams go with the youth. Okay. You don't see, there's a lot of those mature age, 25, 26-year-old recruits that Richmond have been going with for 18 months that aren't much chop. That's what I said, Trout.
Okay, what do you like most of all about your side so far this year? Because now Greg Venom-Denham's trying to jump on the bandwagon.
No, I'm not.
And he likes the fact that...
Like what I've seen
Tigers
the last 2 weeks.
...have actually drafted some young kids, and yep, those young kids are getting a game. So that's what Greg likes most of all about Richmond. What do you like most of all about your side this year? Pete's in Wallen. G'day, Pete.
Hey, Greg and KB.
Hey, Pete.
Just wanted to say I'm really rapt about North Melbourne, Jack Zeeble and... James Brayshaw coming out last night, and just in support of Adam Goods, and you know, telling North fans to don't boo him, and it's a bit of a blight on the game, and it's not great being at the footy and hearing that. So I just want to congratulate North for coming out and doing that.
Will they respond though, Pete? Will the supporters respond?
Well, I'm going to the game tomorrow, and I hope they do. You know, you're going to get your buff heads from every club, but, you know, I just hope it's good for the game if we don't have it.
If someone booed Adam Goods, obviously you're back for North Melbourne, Pete. If someone standing next to you started booing Adam Goods, would you tap him on the shoulder and say, listen, that's not fair?
You know, if someone was at the football and they came out with racist comments or something like that, I'd say something. But if someone's just booing... Well, you know, that's their prerogative, but, you know, I'd prefer not to hear it.
Okay. It's the reason behind the booing, because I see nothing wrong with booing, you know, a player, the same as we cheer a player, because sometimes we like to boo one of the, you know, the great players of the opposition. But it depends upon what's behind the booing, Greg. And a lot of people think what's behind the booing is, you know, a racist comment or attack against Adam Goods. So if you think that is the case, but... If someone was being booed, like if someone booed, let's say, a player because they felt he was getting easy free kicks, well, that's just part and parcel of the game.
I think last week it was a fad. I think it's just become a popular fad now to boo Adam Goods. So it'll be interesting tomorrow to see what happens.
Okay, so therefore that's just...
Stupid
booing.
Absolutely.
For no reason, because you're saying it's a craze or
yep,
a fad.
Yep.
Okay, but I'd like to hear from North Melbourne fans, because Pete says he's definitely is not going to boo because he's taking... The call, the plea from Jack Zeeble not to boo Adam Goods. And would other supporters, Greg, like their clubs to do exactly the same thing for the rest of the season? Give us a buzz on that. I just wonder whether other supporters would like their clubs now to come out. Now, Hawthorn supporters booed Adam Goods the other day. That's where most of this all started from again, Greg. Do you think Hawthorn come out and said to their supporters, look, next time we play against the Sydney Swans, if Adam Goods is playing, don't boo Adam Goods?
Not that I can recall.
Has it got to that point where clubs now
not officially
have
to
make a plea to their supporters not to boo Adam Goods?
Oh, well, I don't think you can take the right away from anyone to boo. I think that, you know, that's
ridiculous. Jack Zeeble and James Brayshaw
he's asked them to be polite.
Not the right, but they're asking.
Yeah, I know. But, I just think, as I said, I think it's a fad. I hope it's a storm.
Yeah, but the fad may continue, Greg. That's
well. I hope it's a storm in a teacup, and I hope it doesn't happen.
It's been going for a little while, and it's getting bigger.
It's an emotional game. People do some very silly things, Kev.
Yes. So therefore, you're saying that the supporters won't respond to these pleas?
No. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But I would hope they did.
Bill's in Wallen. G'day, Bill.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, Bill.
Just quickly. First of all, I've got nothing against Adam Goods. Marvellous football, great to watch. But it's going to put him off his game, fellas. It's been going on for 150 years. What are we going to take out the... remember in under-10s when we used to put off all the kids that stand on the mark and put off the kid having a shot for goal? Are we going to take that away too? Come on. It's an old game. Let's enjoy it, eh? Come on.
So, okay. So Bill says it's part of the tactics of supporters to get under the skin of an opposition player and you boo him. And if that's going to, you know... upset Adam Goods to the point where he doesn't play well. Well, he feels that's what he's helping his team by booing.
Yeah, no. As I said, I think that there was a part of the war dance that was out of the previous week's booing from Hawthorn. I think that he got that off his chest. I think now it would be lovely if North didn't boo and just enjoyed the game and enjoyed. He's a great player on the way out. He's probably his last season. Enjoy the last 10-12 games.
A break, 9429 11:16, Sports Central's coming up. We'll come back, we'll fly through your calls. Friday Sports Chat also coming up with DC and Barmy. Jason Richardson off to the races with value. And Dave Loudon, Sport in the media. And we'll catch up with Cam Mooney, of course, just to finish off the program today with Friday Footy Focus.
Hang on, Damien, and hang on, Robert.
Coming back with your calls.
I'd hope the North Melbourne fans respect Adam Goods. He's a champion of our game, and I'd like to think that our supporters have a bit more class than booing one of the champions of the game. So hopefully the North fans appreciate that he's a good player and go about supporting our footy club the way that we know that they should support our footy club, being nice and boisterous when we kick goals and all that sort of thing. But, yeah, probably no booing, hopefully.
Well, SEN will be at that game, of course. Eddie had... Stadium tomorrow night at 7:20, North Melbourne taking on Sydney, and Jack Zeeble there asking all those fans not to boo Adam Goods. Some of the SMSs are saying Hawthorn fans started booing Goods when he staged for free kicks. We do the same to Jimmy Bartel after he dived in last year's game, says Hopper in Pascoe Vale. I think we should stop cheering. It might distress the opposition. The world's gone mad. Others are saying booing a champion shows just how small the person booing is. Booing is unsportsmanlike, immature and rude. Has it been part of the game for 150 years? I doubt it. Was booing commonplace in your playing days, KB? Yes, booing's taken place in all forms of sport for as long as I can remember. I am a Swan supporter, and I might boo Adam Goods myself. Since he's been booed this year, he is playing great football.
True.
Robert is in Moorabbin. G'day, Rob.
Hi, Kevin and Greg.
G'day, mate.
It's funny, that comment you just made was something I was going to say. His form's definitely improved.
Improved,
but
yeah.
What I really wanted to talk about was costings.
Yes.
You mentioned that Fremantle were the highest costings. Does that include travelling expenses? How are travelling expenses paid?
A lot of SMSs are bringing that up as well, Robert, because you mentioned, Greg, that they have the biggest spend in terms of the football department, and because travel is taken into account for both West Coast Eagles and Frio. Now, That seems very odd because they happen to be on the west coast of Australia.
Well, it's a long
game over on the east coast.
Yeah, but I think the AFL subsidise each club to the tune of roughly, I think, say 50, which is maybe 25 players and 25 coaches, support staff, et cetera, et cetera. But some of these clubs, they'll definitely have to cut down. They were bringing 70, 75 people across.
And okay.
They might have used their own trainers. They might have brought over their own four doctors, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. That's a different explanation than what you said before, because...
I said travel.
The machine went berserk.
I said travel.
I know, but they're saying because they've got to travel, they're on the west coast,
yes.
Greg, but now you're adding a little bit more information. You're saying once they go over a designated number of people...
Well, I think the AFL...
Then they've got to pay it themselves.
The same number for all clubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you didn't explain
but
that.
But it's just that they travel more, Kevin, and they travel longer.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't suit them.
No.
They need more staff than the allocated number the AFL give them. Okay?
Yeah, but you didn't explain that to the listeners. That's why the machine went into overdrive.
It's a very complicated
setup,
this new equalisation. If I went into every detail, we'd be here till 11:45. You wouldn't fit Richo in.
You missed out on a very important point there.
Right.
You should have said...
Anyway, I hope you've got that, Rob.
Well, that explains it then, Rob, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Good on you, pal.
Well, if you had have done that before, you would have stopped all the heartburn by all the people sending through text messages. Dom's in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, KB and Greg.
G'day, Dom. Going? Good. You?
Look, yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Look, I'm not a booer. I've never booed. I mean, I'm 42 years old. I like to think I'm a mature age gent, so I won't be booing. But there's a couple of incidents in last year's prelim final that I know privately riled the club, including our supporters, and we won't be booing these two individuals, but I dare say our players will be going hard at them. One of them was Goods in the prelim final national anthem pre-game. If you recall, before the national anthem ended, he was winking and smirking to a teammate as if to say, "We've got this, Mob, don't worry about that." And I know that Dermy pointed that out on the SEN coverage, that it was a sign of arrogance. And then during the game in the third quarter, when Swans were well on top in front of their home crowd, Kieran Jack tackled young Luke McDonald, who was already out of bounds. So the umpire had already called the boundary throw-in. And Kieran Jack continued with a very forceful tackle on Luke McDonald, who was already lame, like he'd already stopped. He didn't tense. He wasn't ready for it, and he got thrown into the match day officials' chairs. If you recall, a row of chairs where where the umpires were, and all he got was a free kick against, and got cleared by the match review panel. But I know internally, North as a club and as a fan base were filthy with those two acts.
Well, I would have been more filthy getting done by 71 points for mine, to be honest with you. I think you know, you've picked two incidences that sort of smallish compared to the overall thrashing that North got. No, so tomorrow night,
he's saying it might be part of the build-up to North Melbourne taking on
Sydney,
that they'll just remind
themselves. If North
themselves,
are that paltry that they want to think about those little things, I'd be thinking about kicking a winning score tomorrow night, Kevin. That's what I'd be doing.
So don't players and clubs put things into the memory bank, Greg?
Oh, yeah. And
what's
in
your memory bank? 9429 16 as a supporter. What's in your memory bank? Because obviously Dom, straight into his memory bank as
bang,
a North Melbourne
two
supporter,
yep,
was Adam Goods winking and smirking, he said, during the national anthem.
Yep.
And and also Kieran Jack driving Luke McDonald over the boundary line into the chair. So what remains in your memory bank that one day you hope you're going to come back?
Well, What Boomer Harvey did last week, and silly umpire fell for the three-card trick when he knocked the ball out of Pritis's hands. Even if I didn't boo, I would boo Boomer Harvey for that alone.
You said before, Greg, also before the break, that Adam Goods will be retiring at the end of the year.
I would think so.
Are you sure about that?
Look, no, I'm not sure, but I would think that he would retire at the end of this year, bring to an end his playing career, and I would think that he would, with the knowledge that he may well be invited to join the AFL Commission next year. And I think that he would
replace who?
Chris Langford, who wanted to go this year, but he agreed to remain on for one more year. That is my opinion, that Adam Goods will be the next AFL Commissioner.
Okay, well, I'll take some calls on that. 9429 1116. Would you like to see Adam Goods as the next AFL Commissioner? Or you can send through an SMS, 0433 981 116, yes or no, because that might be a controversial appointment, Greg, judging by, you know, the groundswell of calls that we get, the polarisation that people seem to feel regarding Adam Goods.
Well, it might be good that we actually know who the Commission consists of these days. I would know half of them there.
Okay, 9429 1116. If you'd like to join us, we'll take a break. Any conversation, you can continue with Greg down at the Spiritical Hotel over the weekend, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. The big news is that the food is so popular, upstairs is also open for dinner with private dining rooms available. And don't forget the cosy open fireplaces and all the footy on the four big screens. That's what we call real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spiritical Hotel on 94286895. Gazy has joined us from Laverton. Wants to talk about North Melbourne. Gazy?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
G'day, Greg. Just before I get to Greg, just on the booing of Adam Goods. Look, I don't like the guy, so I wouldn't even bother.
Why don't you like him, Gazy?
Just the way he's done things over the years. Look, I don't know the guy, but just the way he goes about his footy, I don't like it. I just don't like it. But anyway, that's why I don't give him the time of day, so he doesn't bother me. But I just don't like the way he goes about the, you know, he sort of plays for free kicks and all that.
I can understand that. We all have sort of people that we watch and, you know, we don't exactly warm to. I can understand that, Gacy.
Well, problem. But anyway, I wouldn't boo him. I just think that's wrong. But anyway, but Greg, I was just going to say, this is a massive game for North Melbourne.
After. Huge.
We had a great game last week. I thought just the way they went on. Now, I just think that, look, I don't really care what happens on Saturday night. As long as we get four quarters out of them, look, you know, they're second on the ladder or something, Sydney. So, you know, as long as we get the four quarters, if we get a win up, it'll be just fantastic. But I think after last week, I think that side got a bit of belief.
Well, there was about 5 minutes, I reckon, deep into the third quarter, early last quarter, where you pegged back four goals on West Coast against the breeze in the last quarter, what you would call a stiff breeze. It was a good win last week. I'll give North Melbourne fans that. I think that winning is all important now, because you've got to win probably one more game than you thought you had to at the start of the year, because your percentage is so poor.
Gacy, thanks for that. Pete's in Arden Street. G'day, Pete. You want to talk about Jack Zeeble?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
G'day, Pete.
Jack should stick to inside the fence rather than outside. Good, sir. Cops are the booing. That's just a part of football, because Lindsay Thomas cops it every week. Boomer Harvey cops it every second week. It just goes on in every club, and Goods is a sook, and he deserves everything he gets.
Okay, so I don't think he'll be taking any notice of Jack Zeeble in not booing Adam Goods.
Do Sydney play Essendon later this year? I'll have to have a look, because we could play the two sooks on each other and just see who sooks the most. That could be something we could talk about later.
Okay, a lot of people would like Michael Long to be an AFL commissioner. So you're saying that if Adam Goods goes on to the AFL commission next year replacing Chris Langford, Greg, that's some opinion of yours that he could retire and go straight on to the AFL commission. Is that because he would be head of Indigenous Affairs and the development of the game in, you know, around the country?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I think that would certainly...
Indigenous communities?
That certainly would help, and I think that the representation of the Indigenous community would be good. But he would also be a recently retired player, and I think on that an extra voice from that area would be very handy at the commission. I mean, no one's been more vocal that they've got no idea how to run the game than you have, particularly on the interchange. So, I mean, having a player who's just been fresh out of the game would be very handy.
Johnny's in Mill Park. G'day, Johnny.
Hi, mate. How are you, Kevin?
Good, John.
Good morning. And regarding Alan Goods, I'm a Collingwood supporter. He's a brilliant player, you know. What they're booing for, I've got no idea. And if he goes on the commission, it'd be a good idea for the Indigenous players as well. There's a lot of them. Yeah, he'll bring a lot of things to the game, I reckon. He'd be a good ambassador for the football.
Well, your sentiments are getting a lot of support as well off the Message Bank. It's just an example of it. I think Adam Goods would be a brilliant addition to the AFL Commission. Clearly, it is long overdue as well for Indigenous representation at this level. Because we have, there's female commissioners now to balance
two,
that up. There's two female commissioners to sort of balance up between male and female.
Well, but we don't really need tokenism. They should be, and hopefully they are, the best people representing the league, right? Doesn't matter what they are.
Okay, so would Adam Goods be the best retiring player to be a commissioner then?
Oh, look, I think he carries himself. He's Australian of the Year, Kevin. I mean, you don't get many higher honours than that. I mean, what else? I think so, yes.
Joey's in Moorabbin. G'day, Joe.
G'day, KB. Before I get on the cobalt, that bloke said Goods deserves everything he gets. Two premierships and two Brownlow medals. On cobalt, Greg, I know you're a racing man. How long are the racing authorities going to keep that 200 micrograms threshold level in place? Because it's exceedingly generous. And it's good that they've caught these blokes and they've charged them with Moody to come. But the horses' natural levels, everything I've read, suggests that they're under 10.
Yeah.
Right? They're inviting the crooked trainers to perfect their doping regime and come in just under the 200 micrograms level.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, it's 100 micrograms. Are there any moves afoot to cut that 200 right down?
Look, I don't, first of all, that we shouldn't say that
nothing's
infer that any crook, no. any trainer is crooked. First of all, we'll get that clear. It's really interesting that you bring up this point, because it's a massive story in racing. I think the fact that when you look at the charges so far with the trainers involved, there's been some horses that have been over 500, one over 600. You're talking about the rule now that has a 200 threshold, Hong Kong 100 threshold. I'm sure, Joe, that'll be sorted out once all this is handled and people get the appropriate penalties or sanctions, if any. But I'm sure that that will be something that Australian racing needs to clarify, and it needs to be pretty stable.
Obviously, this is going to be a big case. Very big trainers, Danny O'Brien, Mark Kavanagh. There's two leading vets as well. And, of course, Peter Moody's being investigated as well.
And not just confined to Victoria.
How long would cases like this take the racing industry?
Well, these trainers are facing...
We know the Essendon case has gone on for 2.5 years, Greg.
I know. I fear for the perception of racing when you read stories like this. Look, all these guys might be completely innocent, but it's not looking good at the moment for the perception of thoroughbred racing at the moment.
A break. Don't forget Friday Sports Chat coming up with DC Dave Cobbett and Neil Barman. Richo off to the races and Dave Loudon Sport in the media. And also Cam Mooney will join us to say goodbye to a week Friday Footy Focus with Cam Mooney. On the Port Adelaide Geelong game.
Can I ask him about why he described Carlisle as a sook?
Yes, we'll ask him why he says Jake Carlisle is a sook. Welcome back, Greg. Who's going to win tonight's big game between Port Adelaide and Geelong?
Look, I think Geelong might now. I thought that Ryder would be back, so no, Geelong.
Geelong?
Geelong.
Okay. Kelly, of course, and they've got some of those experienced players in their side. Enright's still there and Harry Taylor's still there, so there's still a pretty good lineup.
Good game, game tonight. Hey Kevin, I've got to say this just before we go. A lot of people accuse me of being second with the news all the time, and I've got to fess up. So happy birthday to my sister Lynn for yesterday.
Late again, Greg. Don't forget tonight from 6 o'clock, Richmond coach Damien Hardwick is going to join Hutto, Nick Maxwell and Rowan Conley in the SEN coaches box for the all-new Nissan MP300 Navara here now, and, of course, Odyssey Financial. Achieve the future you deserve. Greg, have a great weekend.
You too, pal.
And we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel.